morning, Wisconsin. You're listening to News Radio 620 WTMJ. Well, it is a busy day. The Pope is at the White House. Obviously, we're going to monitor that. We have a lot going on. Reports from out of Washington that the FBI has managed to find all of those erased emails from Hillary Clinton's private server. That would be, as Joe Biden would say, a BFD. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Many stories about the demise of the Scott Walker campaign. We're going to get into that later on the program. In the 10 o'clock hour, I'm going to be joined by Stephen Hayes. We're going to talk about what the turning points were. A lot of very, very good and, as far as I can tell, quite accurate reporting in a number of publications, including Politico, The Washington Post, just a variety of places, about the last hours of the campaign, focusing on the fact that they ran out of money. And, of course, there's a little bit of a debate. You know, was it a revenue problem? Was it a spending problem? They were burning through cash because they built up this massive infrastructure overhead of 90 full-time staffers. And, of course, the former campaign manager, a guy named Rick Wiley, is saying, we needed to do that. That was a good idea. We didn't have a spending problem. We had a revenue problem, by which he means they weren't able to raise any money. Now, listen, I'm not going to dispute the fact that the proximate cause of Scott Walker's political demise on the presidential campaign was the lack of money. There's no question about it. But it's a little bit like focus, you know, saying cause of death was blood loss without mentioning the fact that the blood loss was caused by multiple gunshot wounds to the head. Or saying, yes, well, what killed him? Well, the loss of blood, which, of course, was caused by the fact that they were beheaded by the guillotine. Yes, the money was the proximate cause, but a lot of other things went into that. And, of course, the New York Times, reminding us again why conservatives have so little trust in the liberal media, actually runs a piece today, quoting Gwen Moore and Tom Barrett, essentially saying, you know, that, you know, Scott Walker just wasn't racist enough or whatever. All right, what else do we have coming up? In the third hour today, in the 11 o'clock hour, 11:07, we're going to be unveiling the nominees for the 2015 Iron Lady Awards. The Right Women Award Dinner is scheduled for Friday night, October 16th. We hand out the Margaret Thatcher Award. We've already announced the winner of that, State Senator Alberta Darling. The first-year winner was former Lieutenant Governor Margaret Farrow. Last year it was Tenette Walker. This year the winner is Alberta Darling. There are other awards that are announced that night. We unveil the nominees first. We're going to be doing that in the 11 o'clock hour. In the 10 o'clock hour, as I mentioned, we're going to be talking with Stephen Hayes about what happened with Scott Walker and also maybe his take on the latest Hillary email story. But I want to do something right now that I haven't done before. I don't know that I've ever done something like this. I'm looking for a listener to this program. I want to talk to a listener to this program. Her name is Barb from Cedarburg, or at least that's what she said her name was when she called into the Rush Limbaugh show yesterday. We had a caller who I believe, based on some of the things she said, is a regular listener of this program, who called Rush Limbaugh to challenge him for why he has gone all in for Donald Trump. I have the transcript of... of the call and the answers, and Barb really took it to Limbaugh and asked him some questions that, quite frankly, I don't think he answered. I think we had a listener, Barb from Cedarburg, who calls into this national talk show and asks the number one talk show host in the country a question which he then deflected and danced away from. So what do I want? What do I want to do? I would like Barb from Cedarburg to call in. 414-799-1620. Call my producer, Scott Warris. We're not going to take the call right now, but I want to be able to talk to you later in the program. Now, why do I believe that Barb from Cedarburg is a listener to this program? Well, because she used a couple of phrases to describe Donald Trump that I have used. Now, I'm not saying I'm the only person who has used those phrases. She referred to him as the Kardashian candidate. And since I have used that phrase, I thought that that was perhaps a tell. Now, I could, of course, be wrong about this. I could be completely wrong. But Barb from Cedarburg, if you're out there or you know who Barb is, call 414-799-1620. Now, again, we're not going to put you on the air right now, but I would like to talk to you later in the program, maybe in the 9 o'clock hour. So that's my call. What have I not done before? Well, I haven't actually, you know, use the radio station as a pager. I'm looking for somebody. I don't know who you are, but I want to talk to you. And I, you know, it's even in the age of social media, I could put out tweets. Who are you? Where are you? I would like to talk with you. If we don't hear from you, we're still going to talk about the call and what I think it revealed. Also, Yogi Berra has passed away at the age of 90. Your reaction, of course, was what, Scott? You weren't even sure that he was still alive. You know what the amazing thing about Yogi Berra is? That he was in 14 World Series when he was with the New York Yankees. 14 World Series. That is amazing. And yet, he's best known for some of his comments and his quotes. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Now, I mentioned earlier that we were going to be, in the 11 o'clock hour, unveiling the three nominees for the Iron Lady Award, and the winner will be announced the night of the Right Women dinner. Last year's Iron Lady Award winner was State Senator Leah Vukmir, and she will join me live coming up in 3 minutes. Stay tuned. It's 8:44. He walked away from his unit and got captured by the Taliban. Soldiers lost their lives trying to find him, and now he is up on charges. Some people say that Bo Bergdahl should not be punished at all. You can talk about it with Jeff Wagner today at 12:35. Joining me live on the line is Wisconsin State Senator Leah Vukmir. Good morning. How are you?
I am well, Charlie. Good morning to you and your listeners.
Well, there's so many things that we could talk about, but I want to focus on something that you've taken a lead on. We've spent a lot of, I think, time this year talking about antiquated anti-consumer, anti-taxpayer laws, but the minimum markup law is still on the books, and you're taking that up in the fall. Can you just give us a short overview about why we need to get rid of minimum markup?
It's very simple, Charlie, because it is anti-consumer, it is anti-free market. It is an arbitrary law that goes back to the 1930s. And what I have always said throughout my career is that my goal is to put money back in the hands of Wisconsin consumers. You know, at the same time, affording businesses the opportunity to truly engage in unrestricted competition. And the Unfair Sales Act is unfair to consumers and businesses. So I believe it's time for this to go. It has been something that I have been passionate about since I got into the legislature, but there are very strong forces that stand in the way and put a lot of pressure on legislators on both sides of the aisle to oppose this. And there's always been bipartisan coalitions throughout the years on this legislation. Going back to when I first got in 2002, people like Shirley Krug and Scott Jensen,
yeah,
go figure, they joined as a coalition to oppose this law and to repeal it. And through the years, I have worked with Senator Carpenter, mm-hmm, and other legislators on both sides of the aisle to try to bring some common sense reform in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think most people are surprised to find out that, in fact, it is illegal to offer certain kinds of bargains, that the law mandates the companies must jack up their price by a certain percentage point. Now, as you made reference to the fact that there is a very, very strong lobbying force behind the status quo, which can't be underestimated. And just the other day, I'm sure you saw this, the Wisconsin Grocers Association, the Petroleum Marketers Association, put out a press release supporting the status quo. And they called you out by name. They said, Senator Leah Vukmir and Representative Jim Ott have begun the latest charge to repeal this minimum markup because they claim stores are not able to offer consumers low costs. They're just wrong. Nothing could be further from the truth. Your response?
Well, they didn't substantiate anything. They went on to say that this is going to drive businesses out of our state, but they didn't give any supporting evidence. The fact of the matter is, Charlie, in states that have gotten rid of this law, that just hasn't happened. You know that I'm a champion for small business. I don't want to run small mom and pops out of business. There are federal antitrust laws that are in place that protect against true predatory pricing, which was why this law was put into place back in the 30s. But the fact of the matter is there are safeguards present, and all this does is hurt consumers, and I think it prevents businesses from being able to truly compete.
Well, give me some. Yeah.
It's an arbitrary cost. I mean, the law defines cost in a very arbitrary manner, and yeah, there really is no economic foundation for it because It doesn't take into account the rate of inflation, continuing, you know, rises in the prices of goods since the passage of this in the 1930s.
This does remind me a little bit of the debate like prevailing wage. You know, if you are a fiscally conservative legislator, why would you support government price fixing? I mean, it's one thing. I think most free market advocates understand why you don't want to have, you know, wage and price controls. But this also is in a sense, and it's an anti-consumer price control. But give me some sense of the lay of the political land here, because, there have been numerous attempts to take this off the books. They've all failed because, in fact, the supporters of the status quo will argue that they're the champions of the mom and pops, that it's, they're going to try to portray this as the big box stores, the Walmarts,
right,
against the mom and pop. And obviously they will go to their legislators and they'll say, look, you know, please don't repeal this law. What do you think the odds are you're going to be able to get it through this time?
Well, I think the landscape has certainly changed because we have been charging forward with reforms such as repealing prevailing wage. And it's very hard for me. You brought up the great point. How can you support repeal of prevailing wage and not support the repeal of this? And so this isn't a time for conservatives to get squishy and set their principles aside. You know, I hope that the members of my caucus in both houses, who consider themselves proponents of free markets, will realize that now is the time to do this. And that is part of the reason why these special interest groups are coming down even harder now, because they know that we have been beating this drum for some time and the landscape is changing and our caucuses are more conservative. And this is a direction that I think that our constituents want us to move in. Remember every Black Friday, Charlie, those flyers that come out that say you can get these great deals, except there's always an asterisk at the bottom, except in the states of, and Wisconsin is always prominently displayed there. Well, I want to remove that from those flyers this Thanksgiving season and give our good Wisconsin citizens the ability to do more with their hard-earned dollars by being able to purchase in our Wisconsin economy versus going online or going across state borders. So this is, I think, a common-sense conservative reform that really needs to take place.
And all right, let's.
I hope to get it done this session.
Let's switch gears for a moment. You were a supporter of Governor Walker and his presidential bid, and we're disappointed by his decision to drop out. Right now, who do you like?
Well, I would have to say Marco Rubio has always been one of my favorites, and
I've noticed a certain amount of Twitter love you've been giving Marco Rubio. That's why I asked you the question.
Yes. I haven't made a final decision yet, but I do. I've always liked Marco Rubio. I've had the opportunity to meet with him, talk with him. I know many legislators who served with him when he was in the state Senate, and they have high regard for him as well. So it's not just an outsider perspective looking in. I think he shows real leadership and has done a good job so far in the debates. And he, I think, is appreciative of what Scott Walker has done, as we all are. I think Scott showed a sign of the classiness that we all know is Scott Walker by, you know, going out with his head held high and certainly being very pointed in his comments about hoping that others who are in the race will coalesce around a credible conservative candidate.
So you are not a Trumpkin?
I am totally not a Trumpkin, Charlie. Love the word, but I am not one.
State Senator Leah Vukmir, thanks so much for joining me. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Charlie.
Appreciate it. Let me take a quick break. When we come back, I want to comment on the Pope's visit, and then we have not heard from Barb from Cedarburg. Oh, we did hear from Barb from Cedarburg. Really? It took 5 minutes for Barb. We got Barb from Cedarburg. Okay, I was prepared to be disappointed about all of this. All right, well, we'll talk to her in the 9 o'clock hour. Can we do that? Okay. You're listening to News Radio 620 WTMJ. I'm Charlie Sykes. I'm kind of jazzed about that. It is 8:55. You're listening to News Radio 620 WTMJ. The Packers look for their first 3-0 start since 2011 as they welcome the Kansas City Chiefs to town. We've got the broadcast live from Lambeau Field. Our Packers game day coverage starts with Packers preview at 5 o'clock on Monday. A couple of quick notes, a reminder, Stephen Hayes, local boy made good, Weekly Standard senior writer, contributor to Fox News, will join me at 10:07 to talk about the turning points for Scott Walker, and we'll also talk about the latest stories about Hillary Clinton. That is coming up at 10 o'clock. After the 11 o'clock news, we're going to unveil the nominees for the Iron Lady Award. This is one of the premier awards handed out at the Right Women Dinner coming up at the Pfister Hotel on the night of October 16th. And coming up right after the 9 o'clock news, we succeeded. Barb from Cedarburg, who is the caller, who called up the Rush Limbaugh show and kind of schooled Rush Limbaugh on why he had gone all in for Donald Trump. And very interesting, he invited her to ask a question. She asked a very pointed question, and then he didn't answer it, just changed the subject and moved on. So we will talk with Barb from Cedarburg. And, of course, one of the big stories of the day, the Pope visiting the White House and the White House making no secret of the fact that they intend to exploit his visit to advance the Obama political agenda. You know, one of the big questions is, how does the Pope feel about that? And is the Pope going to push back? Because there are a lot of areas in which he, in fact, does not share that agenda. George will comment on that.
Well, the Pope has a clear agenda, social, economic, political, and he's not reticent about it. But he was strangely reticent in Cuba. If someone hands him today, when he lands and gets to his apartment here in Washington, a copy of the Washington Post, he can read the Washington Post editorial that accuses him of the appeasement of power in Cuba, where the Post says he did and said nothing that would discomfort the Castro regime. He comes here speaking for the poor, but some of us think against the arrangements, largely considered capitalist and fossil fuels, that have done more for the poor in the last two centuries than have been done for the poor in the 30 centuries before that. He will speak on Thursday in the House chamber. He will be speaking there 1 week after, in that chamber, 177 Democratic members of Congress voted for infanticide. That is, they voted against the bill from Trent Franks of Arizona that said if a child survives an abortion procedure, it should be given the same medical treatment that would be accorded any other child of a similar gestational age. 177 Democrats voted against that. If the Pope is looking for something to talk about in the House chamber, he might start there.
That is an outstanding suggestion. I am somewhat skeptical. I think this is one of those. This is going to be one of those visits where you know that the left and the mainstream media, but I repeat myself, will emphasize certain things the Pope says, and yet somehow manage to glide over those areas in which the Pope will remind the politicians in the room that he is, after all, still Catholic. It is 9:08. You're listening to News Radio 620 WTMJ. Right, Wisconsin winners and losers of the day. Well, the winner of the day, Milwaukee Bucks, clearing another hurdle. Loser of the day, wow, Hillary Clinton. This does sound like this is going to be a problem. Bloomberg reporting the FBI has recovered personal and work-related emails from the private computer server used by Hillary Clinton during her time as Secretary of State, according to a person familiar with the investigation. Shorter version of this, Joe Biden, call your office. The Federal Bureau of Investigation's success at salvaging personal emails that Clinton said had been deleted raises the possibility that the Democratic presidential candidate's correspondence eventually could become public. The disclosure of such emails would likely fan the controversy over Clinton's use of a private email system for official business. No kidding. Look, she had a private email system. She deleted the emails. She scrubbed the server because there were things that she did not want people to see. Anytime you have a cover-up like that, I think it's legitimate to say, you know, what was she hiding? Well, we may find out what she was hiding. There's a reason why Hillary Clinton wanted to hide something, and apparently she wasn't very good at hiding it in terms of just competence. As we point out this morning, if true, this means that many, if not all, of those deleted emails could be recovered. I mean, talk about drip, drip, drip. All right, I want to talk about this because I started getting emails, and phone calls exploding about 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon. I can't remember exactly when it was. There was so much stuff going on. I was out at lunch and had a couple of calls to make. And then afterwards began to hear, did you hear about Barb from Cedarburg? Barb from Cedarburg called the Rush Limbaugh show. Now, what made this interesting to me? The day that Scott Walker dropped out, I got a call from Betsy Woodruff, who writes for The Daily Beast, which is Newsweek magazine. We were talking about, you know, what happened, what do I think happened, and we went through all of the things. And just, I want to put this in context. I mean, obviously, there were the gaffes, there were the flip-flops, there was the pandering, the misstatements on immigration, the misstatements on the border wall, the you know, birthright citizenship, ethanol, I mean, all of those things, the problem with money. But near the end of the conversation, I said, you know, one other factor, though, that I think really was kind of a turning point for Walker, and there are so many, and I'm not saying this is the only factor, so don't, you know, I'm not blaming this for what happened with Walker, but it was the loss of support from the national conservative media. There was a moment at which the national conservative media went from being all in for Scott Walker to basically shoving him aside and going all in for Donald Trump. That's what I said. And actually what I told Betsy Woodruff was that I would be interested to see an overlay of the mentions of Scott Walker on shows like, for example, Limbaugh, Hannity, Levin, Laura Ingraham, and his poll numbers. You know, there was a while when it was all Scott Walker. Scott Walker was the best thing since sliced bread. And then at a certain point, they decided that, nah, forget him, we're all in for Trump. Now, why the Limbaughs of the world are all in for Donald Trump remains something of a mystery to me. You know, I mean, obviously, look, it's no secret that obviously Donald Trump draws listeners, draws clicks, whatever. But I mentioned this to Betsy Woodruff, and then she wrote her column in the Daily Beast, quoting me as essentially saying this was one of the things that hurt Scott Walker. Now, again, I want to make it very clear. I am not blaming this. I understand, you know, all of the other factors. However, other candidates have also made blunders, have had mistakes. I mean, look at the things that Donald Trump has said. Look at the things Ben Carson has said. But they have the air support, the air cover from the national media, and Scott Walker didn't. In fact, one of the things that really struck us as we were watching, by us, I mean, you know, my team over at Wright Wisconsin, as we were watching the death spiral of the Walker campaign, the gaffes and the flip-flops and everything, was that as the media narrative kind of picked up momentum, no one was coming forward to defend Walker at all. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just at all. So in any case, that's a little bit of the background. Well, yesterday, somebody named Barb from Cedarburg calls into the Rush Limbaugh Show, and I have the transcript here. And the caller begins, "Hello, Rush, I'm kind of angry at you, but at first I would like to say I really am a true Rush fan. I'm a true conservative. I was chairman of our county party. Most of all, I am so proud I am the mother of two Rush babies." And the Rush goes, "Wow. Caller, yes, very proud of them, ages 26, 23, and they listen whenever they can. Rush, are they conservative? They grew up and they did not rebel? Caller, they did not rebel. My daughter went to Madison to college. She joined the Young Republicans because of you. My son went to college at Whitewater, and he also worked for the College Republicans. They love you. So I did a good job, real good job. I'm very proud of them. They never rebelled. Rush says, "I'm deeply moved." Caller, "Yes, I'm grateful. I've listened to you and loved you for 26 years. I never thought I would be calling you in anger." Rush, "But you're mad at me." Caller, "Oh, I am mad at you. I want to know why, after all this time trying to get a real, solid, proven conservative as president, would you ignore the real deal and help prop up fake, phony conservative that would be the Kardashian candidate, Donald Trump, and the real deal with Scott Walker?" Rush, wait. "Make sure I understand this. You are upset with me that Scott Walker has dropped out of the race." Caller, "I am. You think I abandoned Scott Walker for Trump?" Caller, "Yes, and you did. And you loved Scott Walker for a while there, and then all you talked about, all you did was prop up Trump for a long time now, started calling you the Trump Show." And did I miss a line there? "We started calling you the Trump Show, and Trump only bashes other Republicans." Rush, wait. "Who is this we started calling?" Caller, "Oh, my family. Oh, my kids will listen to you when they can on their lunch break and everything, you know. We started calling you the Trump Show. Trump only bashes other Republicans. His shots at the Democrats are tepid. He's anti-gun, pro-choice, pro-universal health care. And the only way the Hildebees can win is by dividing the Republicans." And I can see her saying, "Wow, this Trump thing is going to work out great." And it goes on. Now, at one point, He asked Barb from Cedarbrook to ask him a specific question. She does, and as far as I can tell, he dances away from it. Let's take a two-minute break. When we come back, I put out the bat signal for Barb from Cedarbrook to call in, and Barb from Cedarbrook is on the line, and we're going to talk about that when we come back in 2 minutes. It is 9:18. You're listening to News Radio 620 WTMJ. I'm Charlie Sykes. Who was it who said that everybody gets their 15 minutes of fame? Barb from Cedarbrook. This is definitely your 15 minutes of fame. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Charlie. I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Okay, so I want to talk about this phone call. And when I read the transcript later in the day, I thought, you know what? Barb listens to me. She's been listening to my show. Is that true?
Yes, that's true.
Okay,
very
good.
True.
Because the Kardashian line, I thought, was kind of the tell, not the fact, also the fact that you're from Cedarbrook. So tell me about your call to Rush Limbaugh. What got you hepped up enough to dial the phone?
Okay, well, when Scott dropped out, I was totally taken by surprise when that announcement came down, and I was just sick because I was working, you know, for Scott Walker, and I love the man. You know, I've known him and worked for him since he was county executive. I mean, as a volunteer, you know, and I truly believe he would be the best candidate, the best president, because he does what he says. He's a true blue conservative, and I was just crushed. So I had to vent my anger that I was feeling towards Rush these past couple months. It's like I said, it's been the Trump show. And I needed to yell at him because I was so angry and I didn't know what else to do. So I started dialing yesterday at about noon, and it took about a half hour, and I couldn't believe it when the phone rang that I got through. That was the first thing. That's almost impossible to get through there. And Snurdly answered. And I couldn't believe it, and I just let it go that I was mad. I was angry at Rush and blah, blah, blah. And he said, okay, Barb, hold on.
Now, I read some of the transcript, and you didn't hold anything back. You know, what did you think of his answers? Because what I think is, and was interested to hear your call, because, you know, these national shows have become the Trump show. And yet they're playing this little bit of, you know, a shuffle where they're saying, no, we're not really all in for Trump. The reality is they are. Uh-huh. And one of the things that I've always thought of as, you know, one of the strengths of conservative talk radio is if I, you know, take a position, I own the position. Yes, I'm all in for this, or yes, this is what I'm advancing. These are my opinions. For whatever reason, they're kind of going, oh, no, we're really not in for Trump. So what did you think of his answers to your challenge?
Well, I was disappointed. He, first of all, let me say he was very nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he held a very good conversation with me. Very polite man. And but he did not answer me. No, he did not. And I was truly disappointed and yet still curious what is going on here.
Right. At one point, I'm going to sort of go to the end here. You say, oh boy, can I ask you one other question about Donald Trump? Because he goes through and he does acknowledge that in fact he had been a Walker fan early on, which I believe he was, you know, and he thought that Walker was in the blueprint. What you really wanted to know was why he dumped Walker and went to Trump, what his fascination was with Trump.
Right.
And he goes on, he changes the subject, he talks about a case, you know, the election for Ken Cuccinelli in Virginia, which has nothing to do with all of this. And then you try to get him back to Trump. And you say, can I ask you one other thing about Trump? Rush, yeah, ask me whatever you want to ask me, Barb. Ask me anything. No secrets here. And then you said, well, do you think you could possibly be helping Hillary? Because like I said, the only way she can win is to defy the Republican Party this time. And since he only bashes other Republicans, could he be working for her? Oh, boy, you know, we'll get these people voting for Trump, and they're not going to vote for the real candidate, which, by the way, I do not want Jeb Bush for the candidate. Okay, so you ask him about whether or not the Trump candidacy is helping the Democrats. Did he answer you?
He did not. He's the master talk show host, and he was really, really good at switching the subject.
He did switch the subject. So his response to you was, who do you want now if not Governor Walker? And
exactly.
You said,
I said Carly Fiorina, Ben Carson, Marco Rubio, or Ted Cruz.
And then his response was basically to rip on Carly Fiorina. Carly Fiorina was on TV last night dumping all over Ben Carson. You got to be careful there, Barb, but I'm kind of out of time here. I don't mean to be provocative like that. So he invited you to ask the question about, okay, is Trump actually helping the Democrats? He changes the subject. He moves on and then bashes Carly Fiorina.
Correct. And I was surprised. I was very surprised. I was really glad I got to vent and talk to Rush, but he never answered me, and I'm still wondering what's going on.
Well, there was a part in this that I wanted to highlight, and he does say some nice things about Scott Walker, and this is what I told Betsy Woodruff. You know, early on, Scott Walker was the candidacy of the conservative media. I mean, because they recognized him as kind of the real deal. And look, I want to make it clear, I don't think that Rush Limbaugh is responsible for what happened to Scott Walker. It was a contributing factor, but, you know, most of the wounds, I think, were self-inflicted. But what's interesting, you know, you ask him, you know, he does say he was one of the earliest and loudest voices for Walker. You wanted to know why he dumped him. And then he goes on to say, I was one of the most ardent supporters of what he had done in Wisconsin, true, how he had done it, and I thought it was a blueprint on how to defeat the left. I noticed something that has nothing to do with Trump here. I even asked him about this. I've interviewed him twice, Barb, for my newsletter. I've asked him twice, and he was a good soldier about it. And then here's this sentence. He never seemed to get any support from the RNC or the Republican establishment in Washington, either in his campaigns for reelection and recall in Wisconsin or in his presidential race. And you actually say, yeah, that's true, but Barb, I got to call you out. That is completely not true. Reince Priebus has been the chairman of the RNC, and to a certain extent, that's always been one of Scott Walker's secret weapons. The RNC was all in supporting Walker when he ran for reelection. So what I see here is Limbaugh trying somehow to blame the national Republicanist. It's not me for abandoning Walker, it's the Republican establishment.
You're probably right about that now that I have that pointed out to me, and I was nervous, though, too.
I
was talking to Mr. Rush Limbaugh. So,
well, now you're talking to Mr. Charlie Sykes, so she's more relaxed now because I live right down the road from you, right? I live in Mequon, you live in Cedarburg, you know.
That's right, but yeah, I was, you know, a little nervous, and at the time I thought, well, maybe that's right, you know, the establishment Republicans. For all I know, they didn't want Scott Walker.
They did. Here's the thing. This is one of those moments where you look at this and go, you know, Rush Limbaugh is totally full of bleep on that. I mean, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I just think this whole thing, and I'm just, you know, look, I want to make it clear. I'm not saying that this is what killed Scott Walker, but, you know, this obsession with Donald Trump, and I think you, Barb, asked kind of the key question, that ultimately, isn't this whole Trumpkin revolution, isn't this just playing into the hands of the Democrats? And I thought it was actually very revealing that when you asked that question, he just danced away and changed the subject. You never got an answer to kind of that fundamental question, like, do you understand that, in fact, the biggest beneficiary of all of this stuff is Hillary Clinton?
You know, it's scary. This is starting to scare me. Let me ask you, Charlie, that same question. What is going on here?
I am trying to figure it out. I think there's a certain amount of cynicism going on here. Obviously, there's an entertainment factor. There is this. And I'm glad you used the term the Kardashian candidacy. You know, we conservatives, you know, mock the Democrats for going with the American Idol celebrity candidate back in 2008. But maybe American politics has changed. Maybe people don't want to talk about records. They don't want to talk about the actual issues. They don't really want to accomplish stuff. They just want to sort of, you know, take some angry position. And I remember, see, Barb, you and I probably go back, you know, the same, you know, a little bit back. I remember when conservative media made conservatives smarter.
Yeah.
And now I sense that sort of rush. You're breaking my heart. You know, you help.
Exactly. Listen, if I can't trust, I truly in my heart have trusted these guys, you know, you and the local guys and Rush and Sean and all these people to tell me the truth and not to go the Kardashian way. And if they do that, they are breaking my heart, is right.
Barb, thanks so much for calling in, and I really appreciate it. And you know,
yeah, thank you.
Congratulations in speaking truth to whatever.
So. Well, thank you very much, Kelly.
Thanks for the call.
My pleasure.
If anybody wants to comment on this, I know a lot of you are mad at me because you know one of the interesting things about the whole the Trumpkins is there's anyone who criticizes Donald Trump is trashed. I got an email that I want to share with you when we come back. It's 9:29. You're listening to News Radio 620 WTMJ. It's technically against the rules, but more and more parents are using ride-sharing programs to get their kids to and from school as well as other destinations. Is this a dangerous trend? I did not know whether it was technically against the rules. Really? Why would that be against the rules? Jeff Wagner takes your calls at 1:35 today. 414-799-1620. The AccuNet Mortgage toll-free talk line 1-800-877-1620. My producer is already lobbying for Barb from Cedarburg to get a Right Woman Award. It's very interesting to read the transcript of this that she, you know, what she said. Look, there are a lot of factors in the demise of Scott Walker. We're going to talk about this with Stephen Hayes from the Weekly Standard and Fox News contributor coming up at 10 o'clock. But the role of the some of the national conservative talk show hosts, you know, frankly, kind of need to talk about that. We need to call them out on all of this. If you want to weigh in on this. It is 9:34. You're listening to News Radio 620 WTMJ. The Packers have cleared one major hurdle in beating the Seattle Seahawks, but could Monday night's matchup against the Chiefs pose a more daunting challenge? Greg Matzik has that conversation and more tonight on Sports Central, beginning at 6:07. Honestly, my email box this morning, I got an email from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this morning. Did I tell you about this? No. In fact, I got two emails, same emails from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Supplement your income with a Journal Sentinel delivery route. I must be on their list. I don't know. Is it because of my LinkedIn profile or something? I could do that. I could do that before the show. Don't think it's going to happen, really. Michelle from Kohler, you're on 620 WTMJ. Michelle.
Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. I just listened to your exchange with Barb. I didn't hear her yesterday, but I listened to the transcript that you read today. And I've listened to Rush for, you know, 25, 26 years, mm-hmm. and maybe I'm naive, but I think something, maybe genius is going on. And I don't know what it is because I'm not a genius, but I don't know. I trust what he's doing, and I think...
You trust what he's doing. Well, here's the problem. How many principled, effective conservatives are going to be squeezed out of this race while they're playing whatever game it is? I mean, I remember when conservatives had some sort of a coherent approach to things, had some sort of a standard for behavior. If any other candidate had the kind of record of support for Democrats, support for abortion, support for higher taxes, support for socialized medicine that Donald Trump has, they would not be pimping for them. So is it genius to be touting a guy who is regarded by much of the country as a bigoted anti-woman blowhard? How is this genius?
Only because it's early in the race. I don't think it's genius to be for Donald Trump. I think it might be genius what he's doing this early.
Well,
but
it's genius. It's, okay, then it was genius to destroy Rick Perry. It's genius to destroy Scott Walker. It's genius to take out some of the candidates who in fact have some of the most effective records in the country, who might actually have been electable.
Right.
Really?
I could be totally wrong. I just he has there's proof in how long he's been doing what he's doing. Rush, I mean.
Well, so I've been doing what I've been doing for a very long time, and I have never, I have to say, you know, some of the intellectual dishonesty. Look, I mean, I obviously I'm a huge defender of the conservative media. I'm a huge defender of the role of talk radio. I'm not going to pretend that I'm not thoroughly appalled by what you call the genius, because if it is genius, then it's intellectually dishonest manipulation. It's game playing, And the reality is you don't know what the consequences of that will be, which is why I think it's much better to just be honest. If I think something, I'm going to say something. If you try to pretend something, you play some game. Because you know what, Michelle? The stakes are big. This country faces some huge moments, you know? And if these guys are, you know, snickering behind their hands because, you know, we're playing this game and everything, you know, how will, you know, and then we end up with Hillary Clinton in the White House?
No, I could be wrong. I just think it's so early. If this were 8 months out from here, then I would be concerned. But I don't know.
Well, it's not early for Scott Walker. It's not early for Rick Perry. And you wonder how many of these other candidates are going to be while they do this. And again, I think that I'm pretty anti-establishment. I have been highly, highly critical of the Washington inside the Beltway bubble. I've been highly critical of some of the leadership in the Wisconsin state legislature and all of this. But it's one thing to say, I want to change things, and you know, versus saying, I want to blow everything up and burn the house down. Here's an analogy I have. The conservative movement has really, think of it as a wall, since people like the idea of building walls, okay? Think of it as a wall. Think of all of the things that we wanted to stop the left from doing. Now, obviously, that wall has not been effective. Now, it's been effective in stopping some things. I mean, you know, some things. But there are obviously holes in the wall. There are things in this wall that need to be repaired. So here's two alternatives. You hire somebody who can repair the holes in the wall, or you can go with Donald Trump and you can blow the wall up. Because that's kind of what's going on. Okay, am I ranting and raving? And I give me the hate mail. 799-1620 throughout the Midwest. 1-800-877-1620. And I don't mean to beat up on Rush exclusively, because you know some of the other folks, I think have been even worse. Here's one of the tells that as soon as Carly Fiorina, who is also anti-establishment, who is also an outsider, the moment she began to rise, the moment she began taking on Donald Trump, some of these same folks began trashing her. So if the genius agenda is, let's take it to the establishment, let's beat up the establishment, let's get an outsider, how is it that anyone who says anything negative about Donald Trump gets attacked from these folks? So I think, to a certain extent, that would reflect how disingenuous that particular argument is. Skip from Cedarburg, you're on 620 WTMJ.
I think you're doing the same sort of thing that Limbaugh did.
Which is what?
Well, you're trying to use this argument to justify your own viewpoint.
Yes, but I'm going to tell you what my viewpoint is. I'm not going to pretend that I don't have the viewpoint. If I support a candidate, I will tell you I support a candidate. I'm not going to play some sort of a game where I pimp for somebody and then when I'm challenged on it, pretend that I'm not pimping for that person.
Well, I don't believe he's pimping for Trump. I think he's just pimping for an anti-establishment position.
Okay, I think that's completely, I think that's BS. Because why is he now trashing Carly Fiorina?
Because she, as part of a big economic leader, she's establishment. Trump is establishment, but at least he's espousing her. He's talking about things. I don't.
Like what? What, Skip? What is he talking about? What appeals to you? Is it his attacks on Megyn Kelly? Is it his juvenile tweets where he's attacking anyone that criticizes him? What is it that he's saying?
Well, I am not a Trump supporter.
Give me one thing that he is saying that you really like.
I love the fact that he is vocalizing opposition to illegal immigration.
Okay.
He has nothing to back anything up that he stands for, but I agree with the statement. So it's like the old...
Okay, there are all kinds of candidates that are opposed to illegal immigration. Probably one of the strongest voices on illegal immigration was the governor of the state of Texas, who actually was the governor of a state along the border, who actually understood what the challenges were, what needed to be done, and look what happened to Rick Perry.
No one chased him out. He left on his own volition. It's not like he had a ton of support and was being hacked down. The same thing happened with Scott Walker. Now, I consider Scott Walker to be a friend of mine, but I'm a Cruz supporter because I believe his positions are better on most issues.
Okay, well, now, you've actually raised something kind of interesting, because I am baffled by the people who say, I want somebody who is a solid conservative and anti-establishment, therefore I am for Donald Trump.
when, in fact, look, Ted Cruz is standing right on that stage. It is not as if you do not have other alternatives. So why would it be all Donald Trump all the time rather than, for example, Ted Cruz, Skip?
Well, the way that I look at it, Limbaugh is pointing out both the flaws and the negatives, but he likes the fact that it's driving the conversation. And that's all he's attempting to do.
I think that's a little bit naive, but I would hope that that would be the case. 799-1620 throughout the Midwest, 1-800-877-1620. Let me take a break, then I'll come back in 3 minutes. You're listening to News Radio 620 WTMJ. Quick reminder, Stephen Hayes is going to join me coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. We're going to talk about the demise of Scott Walker, the turning points for Scott Walker, why he failed as a presidential candidate. I'm going to ask him about the Donald Trump phenomenon and the latest news about Hillary Clinton. I think it's going to be an interesting conversation. That's going to be coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. It is 9:47. Halloween is about a month away. Do you have your costume picked out yet? The guys from Halloween Express at State Fair tell you what are the best sellers this year. That is on Wisconsin Afternoon News at 4:50 today. By the way, Rick Wiley, the former campaign manager for Scott Walker, tells WisPolitics.com that he thinks the birthright citizenship gaffe was the beginning of the end. You can actually play this game. You know, what was the moment at which things really turned south? I don't think that that's a bad. I tend to agree with him. I was actually having a conversation with somebody this morning, and I said if you held a gun to my head and said, you know, name one moment where things really turned bad, I think it might be the birthright citizenship. Because remember when that happened? I remember it really clearly. It's a Monday. Walker is speaking in Iowa, and you had some of the Unionista thugs who were yelling at him, and he went back at him and said, "Sir, I'm not going to be intimidated by you," and it got rave reviews. It was the best moment of the campaign. There was huge positive buzz. You saw some life. He reminded people why he had become a superstar. The next day, Walker then released his Obamacare repeal, and still to this moment, the most substantive proposal to replace and repeal Obamacare of any of the candidates. I mean, no, Donald Trump is saying, "Well, I'll come up with something great." And be, "Oh, this is great. Oh, Donald. Oh, so." No, Walker actually came out with a detailed, intelligent, defensible Obamacare repeal, and it got great reviews. In fact, I think the National Review magazine said it was the most coherent, most strongest conservative proposal out there. That was Tuesday. I think it might have been Tuesday afternoon, though. He's walking through this Iowa County Fair, State Fair, and a reporter for MSNBC asks him the question on birthright citizenship. And he appears to say, yes, we want to repeal it. We want to get rid of it. I tried to defend him by saying that it was that verbal tick where he says yes, and then he goes on to his answer. However, the reason my defense is somewhat lame, and I admit that, is because having, you know, said he's in favor of repealing birthright citizenship, he then tweets out things. His campaign doesn't walk it back. They don't immediately clarify it. They let him twist in the wind for 3 days to the point where he ends up having three different positions. He, you know, on Tuesday, he says, you know, I'm in favor of repealing it. By Thursday, he is saying I'm not going to take any position at all on it. Sunday morning, he's saying he's against doing away with birthright citizenship. And that was one of those facepalm moments. You go, oh, my goodness. Yeah. 799-1620. Let's go back to the phones. Paul from Millersburg, Iowa. You're on 620 WTMJ. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Charlie. I'm really glad you're talking about this call. I heard Barb yesterday during one of the few minutes that I was listening to Rush, and she nailed it. She was exactly right in expressing her contempt for the way he's handed his show over to Trump. I felt the same way. I don't listen to him as much anymore.
Yeah, I don't think it was contempt as much as disappointment, that sense of, like, man, I was with you. I trusted you. You know, look at this. I raised, you know, Rush babies, and now what are you doing?
Well, the real point I called to make, Charlie, was my disappointment, because Governor Walker was my man. He was just here in Iowa County, Iowa, over the weekend. And I want to tell you, from the ground here, there's a lot of people who are buzzing about how shocked and sad and disappointed they are that he's left, because he was their man, too. and I'm at my caucus, I can tell you he is still going to be the guy I'm going to vote for. And I hope that other Iowans do that same thing and keep his name in the race so that we can get him back into this.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. He's done. But there is a price. I mean, Michelle from Kohler, I hope she doesn't think I was too hard on her, but there's a price to be paid for this this infatuation with Trump and the other unelectable candidates. There's a price to be paid, you know, for the way the oxygen has been taken out of the room. And you could say, well, it's early, except that, you know, one after another, these guys are going to be dropping like flies, and we're going to look back on this field and realize, you know, look, there were some really good guys there who had a lot of things to say that could not break through. Because particularly conservative media, and again, I'm sorry, I'm kind of all over the place here, but, you know, part of what conservative media can do is provide a forum for intelligent conservative ideas and principles. I mean, that's kind of, you know, one of the reasons why conservative talk radio became, you know, successful. It was an alternative to the mainstream media. It began talking about things that other people weren't going to talk about, provided a voice to people that were often shut out by the mainstream media. But right now, you have about 15 candidates that cannot get a word in edgewise because of all of this shilling for a guy who is absolutely unelectable, who fits every negative stereotype about conservatives. You know, it's the left says, well, you conservatives, you're a bunch of bombastic, you know, rich guys who hate women and minorities. And so what is the response to say, okay, let's put up a bombastic rich guy who hates minorities and women, and we'll like, you know, dare him to be offended. Paul, it's very frustrating. It is frustrating. 799-1620 throughout the Midwest, 1-800-877-1620. Now, a couple callers are saying, look, this is not a mystery. Trump sells his gets ratings for television and radio, period. Well, I understand that. But also, those are short-term things. And as somebody that's been doing this show for more than 20 years, I have to tell you, there's also the longer-term issue of credibility and trust, which is that, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, you do shows like this because you actually believe in stuff. I've actually found, I can't do 3.5 hours, you know, by playing some sort of a game. I got to tell you what I believe, and you may think it's stupid. You may disagree with me, and I actually may be wrong, and I have been wrong. But you would hope that that trust and that bond with the listeners is going to override any short-term blip that you might get in the ratings or downturn in the ratings. I mean, I'm pretty much aware that I'm probably not helping myself by ripping Donald Trump. It probably is the path of least resistance to be doing Trump, right? I mean, you know, probably that would move, you know, yeah, Charlie, if you want ratings, you should stop saying negative things about Donald Trump. You may be right about that. But, you know, I couldn't look at myself in the mirror in the morning. You're listening to News Radio 620. We'll be back in 3 minutes. It is 9:57. You're listening to News Radio 620 WTMJ. What is the latest Trump story? He's back tweeting insults to the hosts at Fox, insulting Megyn Kelly. It got so bad that even Greta said, "Would you just knock it off? This is getting ridiculous." And then Trump's lawyers actually sent a letter to the Club for Growth saying, "We're going to sue you for libel because you're running critical ads." Listen to this. Here's the ad.
The Supreme Court's Kelo decision gave government massive new power to take private property and give it to corporations. Conservatives have fought this disaster. What's Donald Trump say about the decision?
I happen to agree with it 100%.
Trump supports eminent domain abuse because he can make millions while we lose our property rights. Trump, the worst kind of politician.
Here's another one.
Which presidential candidate supports higher taxes, national health care, and the Wall Street bailout? It's Donald Trump.
In many cases, I probably identify more as a Democrat.
Trump wants us to think he's Mr. Tell It Like It Is, but he has a record, and it's very liberal. He's really just playing us for chumps. Trump, just another politician.
In many cases, I probably identify more as a Democrat.
Club for Growth Action is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Okay, Trump's lawyer actually sent a cease and desist letter saying we're going to sue you for libel. Honestly, does somebody needs to take Donald Trump aside and say,
You're running for president. These are political ads. You can't sue them for libel for saying that you support higher taxes when you do support higher taxes. In any case, moving on, we're going to be talking with Stephen Hayes from the Weekly Standard and Fox News when we come back in the 10 o'clock hour. What went wrong for Scott Walker, and is are Hillary's email problems about to become just a hell of a lot worse? Stay tuned.